Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, now down to 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is August the 23rd, 2024. It is the 19th day of Elul, 2028. We're going to start our first service today with a song, and then we're going to go into a service called the Antitypical Valley of Acre. We're on page 30, last paragraph of page 31 of chapter 4, The Latest News from Mother by V.T. Hutter. It says that the Antitypical Valley of Acre has not this remarkable judicial writ been intended for an example. Yahweh would not have designated the very place of Achan's punishment, his execution, then in the Valley of Acre. Points forward until the time of an antitypical execution within the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the modern house of Israel today. This antitypical valley of Achor, her door of hope, San Bed Point, to the destruction of the sinners, tears in her midst her illegitimate children. See Testimonies, Volume 5, page 80. Okay, unmistakably, the talk showed that during this publication, Yahweh will destroy not only every sinner among the people in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but also their families and all their belongings with them. The seed is moving, declares the Spirit of the Truth. Let us not say, stay thy hand, O Yahweh. The church must be purged, and it will be. And I saw that the Yeshua was wetting his sword in heaven to cut them down. Now Yeshua is here on earth. Get ready to do this Ezekiel 9 on the Adventist church. Oh, that every lukewarm professor should realize the clean work that the Yahweh is about to make among his professed people. Testimony, Volume 1, page 190. The type also shows that Yahweh will undertake this clean work among his professed people just before he entrusts them with his very last message to the world, a message of the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. Malachi 4:5. The power of this dreaded day is to lighten the earth with his glory. Revelation 18:1, and enable his people to repossess the antitypical promised land, the earth. So when the worthless material is consumed, the church, the purified church of the House of David, that has received the Seventh-day Adventist Church, clad in the complete armor of light and righteousness, enters upon her final conflict, and the entrance of the truth testifies to the world of the sanctifying and ennobling character. Testimonies to Ministry, 1718. Thus this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. All these, the imminent purification of the church, the insane loud cry of the third angel's message, and the restoration of the kingdom in the land of our fathers, with the subsequent conquering of the nation. All these the type demands them, because Achan was executed and the camp freed from sinners before the ancient Israel could conquer the promised land. Accordingly, after her purification, after she has taken heed to the call of the Isaiah 52:1, then clad in the armor of the Asherah's righteousness, the church, the house of David, is to enter upon her final conflict, pure as an man, pure as a sun, and terrible as an army with thunder. She is to go forth into all the world, conquering after conquering. Prophecy 7:25. For the prophet Ezekiel also was given a vision of this final purification of the church. This prophecy revealed that everyone who fails to receive the mark or seal is to fall under the slaughter of the five men, and that all, old and young, both maids and little children and women, will all perish together. Volume 5, page 211. Ezekiel 9:6. As typified by the agent's destruction, the ensample, this unassailable sequence of the facts only bulwarks the spirit of the prophecy's position that the sealing of the service of Yahweh is the same that was shown to Ezekiel in vision, that the true people of the Yahweh will always be on the side of the faithful and plain dealing with sin, which easily deceit the people of Yahweh, especially in the closing work for the church in the sitting time of the 144,000. Sister Wise, Testimonies, Message 445. And Volume 3, page 266. Observe how definitely the foregoing testimony places the purification of the church before the gospel work is finished, and immediately before the loud cry of the third angel's message is sounded. It clearly states that the closing word for the church is the sitting time of the 144,000, and the fact that these are the first fruits proves that this work for the SDA is the commencement of the harvest, and that after they are sealed, and the church purified, the second fruits are to be gathered in. For where there is no second gathering, there can be no first. This twofold harvest is brought to you also in Revelation 7. After beholding the gathering, the sealing of the 144,000. First fruit, John saw the subsequent ingathering of the great multitude and of all nations. Revelation 7:9, the second fruit. Developing still further the subject of the purification, the spirit of the prophecy discloses that those who have proved themselves unfaithful will not then be entrusted with the flock. But the usher has a faithful servant who in the church's testing time will be disclosed to you. In other words, after the old set of servants who have unfitted themselves for service are put away, and the church thereby purified, Yahweh will then disclose to you the faithful and true, those whom we can trust as under shepherds of his word. In this same connection, the spirit of prophecy also warned that the days of the purification of the SDA church are hastening on apace, for the Yahweh will have a people pure and true. When the mighty sifting sand to take place, we shall be better able to measure the strength of Israel, for the signs reveal that the time is near, and if Yeshua will manifest that this fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his soul. Those who have trusted to intellect, genius, or talent will not then stand at the head of the rank and power. They do not keep pace with the light. Those who have proved themselves unfaithful will not then be entrusted with the flock. In the last solemn work, two great men will be engaged. They are self-sufficient, independent of Yahweh, and he cannot use them. For Yahweh has faithful servants who in the shaking testing time will be dispersed to you, personally by 5-8. For the words thoroughly purge his floor denote an absolute purging which leaves her without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Not until this clean work is accomplished can the Yahweh logically say unto those who are in battle, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plague. Revelation 18:4. Indeed, were he to do no better than simply bring them into another place where sin still abound, he might far better leave them right where they are. This final work for the church, being of such great importance, is still further elucidated in the prophecy of Malachi 3. Of this impending purge, hope inspiring and hardened to the righteous, the terrifyingly sorrowful for the wicked, the prophet declared, he shall suddenly come to his temple, the church or floor, that he may abide the day of his coming, and he shall stand when he appears, for he is like the refiner's fire, and like the fuller's show. And he shall set his refiner and purify the silver, he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them with gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahweh an offering in righteousness, and with that seed, 1-2. And explanation of this scripture. The denomination of purification, published and owned by the denomination of the Seventh-day Adventist, as well as endorsed and used by the Sabbath School Department throughout the world in 1929, Isaiah the Gospel Prophet, Volume 3, at page 49 says, verse 20, Isaiah 59, the Redeemer shall come to Zion. This is Yahshua, is the Redeemer, the Son. This is not the coming in the cloud, but coming in the church. And when he comes, he will do the work mentioned in Malachi 3:1-2. This official exposition of the text showed that in 1929, the denomination felt that the prophecy of Malachi 3, promising a thorough work of purification, is a message to the church. Proceeding from Malachi's disclosure of the purification of the sons of Levi, the lesson leads us to the law of the firstborn, the first fruits. And Yahweh's original plan, the firstborn of every family, were to be the ministers of the temple, the firstborn of the flesh, therefore, are the type of the firstborn of the spirit. And though the typical firstborn lost their priestly inheritance to the Levites, yet in the restitution of all things and the final Davidian period, Acts 15:16, this office will be restored to the antitypical firstborn, the first fruits of the harvest, the rest 14:4, for they are the servant of our Yahweh, the rest 7:3. This restoration, therefore, is to follow the absolute reformation resulting in a perfect safety. If with but one Achan in the camp, the Israel of the Joshua's time was powerless to stand before the heathen, then what hope has the modern Israel with the hundreds of Achans? Testimonies, Volume 5, page 157, and their midst to stand through the approaching time of the trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Today, as yesterday, there is for her but one door of the hope, the Valley of Achor. They're sitting here free from the sinners forever. Yahweh will then bring her out jubilantly, singing as in the day of her youth, and as in the day when she came out of the land of Egypt. And that shall be at that day, saith Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Bela, Hosea 2:16. She shall then no longer call him my Lord, but rather my husband. the relationship of a husband and person and that of a Lord to denotes an elevation into a more intimate connection and walk with Yahweh, and that this elevation is a direct result of the recognition is evidence in the Word. So I will take away the names of the Balaam out of their mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. Hosea 2:17. And in their mouth there shall no God, for they are without fault before the Son of Yahweh, Revelation 14:1-5. And Yahweh has taken his people through this refining, purifying process, testimony by entry, page 541, and has brought them forth as fine gold, seven times purified, with the dross burned out forever. Then will he be able to fulfill his promise, and in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. Hosea 2:18. This is right here in the 12th parabolic hours that this is going to take place. But you ought to sort of teach this is going to be after the millennium this year. But it's going to be right here in the 12th hour. We'll start right in the Adventist Church. That's covenant that he makes it starts at the 144,000. First feast of the harvest of the Adventist Church. In spite of the ultimate joy and glory unsurpassed, which this message of the hope sits before the angel of the letter sin, who is in charge of the candlestick, the church, who is still warring against the message that the Yahweh's people were sufficiently sent their unpreparedness for the meeting of the coming crisis, and should but see themselves standing, as it were, before the mouth of the dragon, they would tremble and faint for the fear. But alas, the pall of the insensibility enveloping them is so great that he who comes as a harbinger of the hope and release, instead of being gratefully welcomed, is viciously attacked as though he were a finished harpy or some gorgon or hydra-headed monster, and all because they know not the hour of their visitation, when the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, comes from heaven to this earth, will destroy them and his fury. During the 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now, and save the righteous in his mercy. For the fact that the names of the children in the Hosea's vision are Lo Ruama, means no mercy, and Lo Ami, not my people, when representing the Old Testament period, signifies as previously seen that the Yahweh could no longer extend mercy unto the members of his church. So when he punished them by the heathen, the innocent suffered alike with the guilty, with the names Ruama, mercy, and honor, my people, show that now, in the latter day period, he will have mercy upon them by the destroying the wicked, only sparing all of the righteous Behold, the days come, saith the Yahweh, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that, like as I have watched over them to put up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Yahshua. In those days they shall say no more, for the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth have sit on it. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, and his teeth shall be set on edge. Jeremiah 31:27-30. And the consistency of this day's church in both periods, or the house of Israel in both periods, is depicted by the same two children, Lo Ruhamah and Lo Ami, except that in the latter period their names are altered, for the scriptures, she shall sing there. And the New Testament period, as in the days of her youth, as in her first state. In the Old Testament period, as in the day when she came out of the land of Egypt, Hosea 2:15, attests that the experience of the Yahweh's attendant people in going out of Haran and of Babylon and out of Egypt will be represented at the present time. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, that's Haran, and like as it was to Israel in the day that he came out of the land of Egypt, Isaiah 11:16. Thus in that day shall the branch of the Yahshua be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. They shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When Yahshua shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of the Mount Zion to dwell there, of the house of David, and shall save, or shall have purged the blood of Yahushua from the midst thereof, by the spirit of the judgment, and by the spirit of the burning, and the Yahshua will creep upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion, and upon her summit a cloud and a smoke by the day, and a shining of a flaming fire by the night. For upon all the glory shall be a stephen, there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime, from the heat, and for a place of the refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from rain, Isaiah 4:2-6. For this glorified repetition of the Yahweh's leading and Exodus, let's do this again. For this glorified repetition of the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, coming down to earth again, like he did with Moses in Egypt, again leading an Exodus movement by the shepherd's rod. So that would have to do with the house of David, that is of the shepherd's rod. Shows that he is again using the same method to bring modern Israel out of the nation where the Jews failed to make their kingdom a working model of the theocracy ordained solely for the manifestation of Yahweh's power, and thus convert the world to the precious faith. For the present kingdom movement must succeed, for the Yahweh's plans know no final failure. Sooner or later, they will be carried out. See Patriarchs and Prophets, page 283, by Ellen White. So today, in the Antitype, this is where we're at right now, in the 12th parabolic hour. The Antitype is in the 12th hour. And Yeshua's voice cried unto the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and the man of wisdom, the prophet, antiquity Elijah, David, same thing, Malachi 4:5, the teachable shall see thy name, who is the rod, and who hath appointed it, Malachi 6:9. And by a prophet, Yahshua brought Israel out of the Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. Isaiah 12:13. Obviously, therefore, Yahweh will pity all who come under the authority of his law today, confessing their sin and seeking mercy, but he will have no mercy upon the disobedient, not even upon any who covet the Babylonian garment of today. And that is gold and silver and all lands and cattle and houses and everything. Okay, it says the Babylonian garment of today by Achan, the illicit possession of the goodly Babylonian garment, is typified that class of church members who covet the worldly style and fashion in vogue now, when the Israel of today is about to enter the promised land, and the price that he paid, they shall pay. Read Isaiah 3:16-26. And not only they shall pay it, but also those who follow in the next steps of Achan, covet silver and gold. Achan's taking the Yahshua's money represents a class of the church members who covet the silver and the gold, which he has set apart for himself, and who thereby rob him of that which is his own. That's the tithes money and offering. Those who withhold that which is his and appropriate it for the use according to their own wisdom, as well as those who oppress the harlot and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and have turned aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith Yahshua of the host, Malachi 3:5, are acting Achan's part, and therefore are cursed with a curse, even this whole nation of Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's the general conference of it. That's Ted Wilson is a Jesuit general, the president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, appropriating $365 million to himself to play on the Wall Street in his name. So the president of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventist is worth at least $365 million because he gambled the tithe money of the Adventist on Wall Street. And when he made a gain, he put it all in his name. For the tithes and the offerings are of Yahshua's substance. And those who think that they can so manipulate them as to accomplish whatever end is desired are deceiving themselves, not Yahweh, for his command is, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, Malachi 3:10. For the storehouse is the only place designated where one may bring the tithes and the offerings and unload them, and unload from the shoulders the heavy responsibility, which is faithful stewardship imposes. To do otherwise with them is to leave one's account in the heavenly ledger standing in the red, even though one may appropriate them to some meritorious work of the charity while it is yet today. Therefore, flee from the sin of the agent before it is forever too late. As I live, saith the Yahweh, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Ezekiel 33:11. Those who will today hear his voice and harden not their hearts as in the day of the provocation, where he made his future servant his future servant not by might nor by power but by my spirit, saith the Yahshua of the host. That's Yahshua's talking. Zechariah 4:6. In other words, the workers will be taught rather by the unction of his spirit than by the outward training of his scientific institution. For the Yahweh will manifest that he is not dependent on the learned, self-important mortals, for the most weak and hesitating in the church will be as the David, willing to do and dare. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 82 and 81. Moreover, I will take illiterate men, obscure men, says the other, and move upon them by my spirit to carry out my purposes in the work of saving souls. For the last message of the mercy will be given by the people who love and fear me. Review and Herald, September 21st, 1905. He will use men for the accomplishment of his purpose, whom some of the brethren would reject as unfit for the engaging in their work. Review and Herald, February 9th, 1895. to these workers, the Yahshua is graciously sent, and strangers shall stand and feed your flock, and the sons of the alien, those who are not of the 144,000, shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, that ye shall be named the priests of the Yahweh. Men shall call you the ministers of the Yahweh. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Isaiah 61:5-6. What an exalted privilege to be able to acknowledge no master but the Yahshua, and to engage only in his work and live on his substance. Is this the ministry of which there hath not been ever the like? Neither shall be any more after it, even unto the years of the many generations. Joel 2:2 is to be free from all earthly encumbrances. Therefore, let no one longer delay in effecting the transition, which will ultimately see him engaged heart and soul in the Yahshua's closing work for the church, the end gathering of the first fruits, who are to be sealed from among the living, and while giving himself to this work, he will at the same time be preparing himself to give the message in the time of the loud cry, which the purification of the church, the deliverance of the seal, and the destruction of the unsealed is to usher in, and which those who are to be purified are to proclaim, that each one wisely make this imperative transition by the gradually curtailing pursuit of his own interest and increasing pursuits of the Yahshua. In this way, each one will steadily climb from an empty and unsunk of the self enterprise unto a full and glorious future of the divine enterprise, which shall call forth from the uttermost part of the earth sounds even glory to the righteous. Isaiah 24:16. Let me tell you, says the Spirit of the prophecy, if your heart is in the work and you have faith in the Yahweh, you need not depend upon the sanction of any minister or any people if you go right to work in the name of the Yahweh in an humble way, doing what you can to teach the truth. Yah will vindicate you. If the work had not been so restricted by an impediment here, an impediment there, and on the other side, an impediment, it would have gone forward in its majesty. It would never they would have gone at their weakness at first, but the Yahweh of the heaven lives to view in hell, April 16, 1901. See also Testimony, Volume 7, page 25. My brethren, if you choose to have a part in the grandest of all work, the crowning act and the redemption of the world, you must now quickly make ready that not the cares of this life rob you of the crown of the eternal life. Do not offer excuses for not making the change. Stand not on the side of those who shall say, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Or, I have bought 5 yoke of the oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. For I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Luke 14:18-20. Have all that is in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of Yahweh abideth forever. 1 John 2:16-17. Moreover, while yet engaged in your present occupation, go you into the vineyard of the Yahweh, and as your interest there grows, let your private interest be diminished until you find yourselves completely divorced from them and wedded to the Yahweh. Tom said, the spirit of the prophecy is short, and our forces must be organized to do a larger work. Laborers are needed who comprehend the greatness of the work and who will engage in it, not for the wages they receive, but from a realization of the nearness of the end. For the time demands greater efficiency and deeper concentration. Oh, I am so full of the subject that I cry to Yahweh, raise up and send forth messages, and I fill with a sense of their responsibility. Messages in whose hearts self-idolatry, which lies at the foundation of all sin, has been crucified. Testimony, Volume 9, page 27. But as the harvest is great and the laborers few, heaven is compelled to finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Romans 9:28. Hence the Yahshua himself now will take charge of the flock, and I will betroth thee unto me forever, saith the Yahshua. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercy. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Yahshua. Hosea 2:19-20. They that trust in the Yahshua shall be as the Mount Zion. That means the house of David, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10. A scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and that's Yahshua. And unto him shall the judging of the people be. That's a prophecy for this 12th hour that we're in right now, for the house of David that we represent here right now, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Asher is round about his people from henceforth even forever. Psalms 125:22. This shall come to pass in that day that I will hear, saith the Yahshua, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. Hosea 2:21. Well, the phrase, I will hear the heavens, shows that he is on the earth. The phrase, they shall hear the earth, shows that by the means of the angels, there will be constant communication between heaven and earth. Testimonies 9:16. He will use ways and means by which it will be seen that he has taken the reins in his own hand. For the workers will be surprised by the simple means that he will use to bring about and perfect his work of the righteousness. Testimonies to Ministers 300. And the Yahshua will take charge of the flock himself. That's the Son of Yahweh. Testimonies 5:80. Okay. It says, see also track 1. Of the V.T. Holler, having taken charge of the firstborn, and that's who the house of David is now, that's the firstborn of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, in the 12th hour, they're the firstborn, the first fruits of the harvest, he will use them to gather the secretary. So, the 144,000 are the first fruits harvest of this house of David. Now, down at the 12th hour that we're in right now. For the second fruit, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. Jezreel is your master prophet, which would be the answer for Elijah of today, Malachi 4:5, when he comes as a messenger of the covenant. Hosea 2:22. For the first clause makes clear that when the Yahshua himself takes complete charge of the flock, a great harvest of the soul is to be gathered in. For the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, the spiritual food, the message, and they, his brethren in the church and in the world, shall hear Jezreel, the messenger. And I will show her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, and I will say unto them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my Yahweh. Hosea 2:23. For the promise, I will so multiply her unto me in the earth. There is further substantiation that there is to be an ingathering of the soul after purification. Hence, Jezreel's message accomplishes all this before the final close of the probation. That for the world, the evidence upon evidence makes clear that after the 144,000 are sealed and separated from among the wicked in the church, Yahweh will send them unto the nation where they shall declare his glory among the Gentiles, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahshua out of all nations in a clean vessel and into the house of the Yahshua. It didn't say unto, it said into the house. So this is going to be an existing house during the 12th hour. That's Isaiah 66, 19, and 20. It says, Hosea's family allegory further shows that in the time of the Jezreel's message, and that's the message we have today, the house of David, not the 12th hour, to bring forth the first truth, 144,000, that's Jezreel's message. The whole world shall behold the glorified relationship of the father, the mother, and children. For the Hosea's wife being represented as the Yahshua's wife, Hosea 2:2, Hosea himself is a representative of the Yahshua himself, and since his wife is his church, she and her children are a representative of his church family, ministry, and laity. She represents the ministry because they bring forth the converts, the children that make up the laity. She just is Hosea's firstborn son, and the vision comes to command. Say ye unto your brother Ami, unto your sister Ruama, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredom out of her sight, and her adultery from between her breasts. Hosea 2:1-2. From this we see that Jezreel, the one addressed, is symbolical of a prophet who is to command his brother, Ammon, and his sister, Ruama, to go to their mother and plead with her to reform. For the name Ruama and Ammon represents a brother and a sister, singularly, but in commissioning Jezreel to speak unto them, the third designates them in the plural, brethren and sisters, embracing the entire church membership. Obviously, therefore, Yahweh ordained that one of the laity, Jezreel, his chosen agent, was to hurl the message unto Ammon and Ruama, his brother and sister, who in turn were to plead with their mother, the ministry. For the Yahshua has plainly made known this procedure because he knew that the majority are ever prone to lean on their ministers for the revelation of the truth, and because they forget the tragic fact that in the closing work for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, in each period, the ministry kept the block from accepting advancing truth, rather than leading them into the advancing truth. Truly, it is not enough to have the good intention, not enough to do what a man thinks is right, of what the minister tells him is right, his soul's salvation is at stake, and he should search the scripture for himself. However strong may be his convictions, however confident he may be that the minister knows what is the truth, this is not his foundation. For the most humble and devoted in the churches were usually the first to receive the message. For this truth has been repeatedly illustrated in the history of the house of Israel, the Church of Yahweh. Many of the professed followers of the Asher refused to receive the light from heaven, and like the Jews of old, knew not the time of their visitation because of their pride and unbelief. The Asher passed them by and revealed his truth unto those who, like the shepherds of Bethlehem and the eastern Magi, had given heed unto all the light they had received. Great Controversy, 598, 372, and 316. With the abundance of evidence herein made available unto all, no one needs to remain in the ignorance of the source to which the Yahshua reveals himself. If each will but investigate personally. Okay, this brings in about to yourself. Contact us at the 11th hour call, number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.